Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Story time.
So, in the year 2011, I spent living in rural Spain, Ventimiglia, a place near Oros to be exact, with rolling hills, drops, ravines, and cave houses used and abandoned all over. One night, we were driving home through the vast countryside on the way back to our place, when I saw this thing run towards the back of the car and behind, across the road. At first, I thought it was a dog because rural Spain is terrible for wild dogs or abandoned dogs all over the place. But as my eyes followed it to the verge on the other side of the road, I noticed the size of this thing. If it was standing up straight, it was probably about 6 or 7 feet tall. It was running on all fours, a very sickly pale color, almost glowing in the moonlight, and absolutely no body hair at all. The overall vibe was more humanoid than canis, apart from its elongated, dog-like nose. The only way I can describe it is the weird in-between stage in movies when a dude is turning into a werewolf. And it's, to this day, how I describe what I saw. However, since reading crawler posts lately, I am torn between seeing a crawler or possibly a dogman, which people also report encountering. What are your thoughts? I am now 31, living in Romania. I never told anyone because I got laughed at when I was a kid. It was the night before Christmas. I was at my grandparents' house with my parents and brother. They were saying that I should be nice, otherwise Santa won't come. I was looking out the window because I loved looking at the night and the dark. It was so cool. Remember, I was maybe 6 or 7 years old. And then he came with his face up to the window. I was face to face with him. I froze in terror. His eyes were so human, big head, and a long, wolf-like mouth. He was very tall, at least 1.8 meters. He looked at me and growled like he was so angry, and then he went to the door outside the house. My mom shouted for me to get away from the window, and I ran to lock the door inside the house, but he just left, going around the house. I don't know why he left. I told my parents. They said I was just seeing things, or that I was dreaming, and that it was just a wolf and nothing to be scared of. I'm pretty sure that was no simple wolf. This happened last year in Ohio. We live pretty far out in the cuts, and there's a lot of forest area around us. I think that's why this creature was snooping around our place. It came from the forest. It was a typical Saturday night. My friends Carl and Nick were over, and we were playing Halo. Usually, my parents would go out for the evening to have a date night, and us guys would stay at our house and play video games. All three of us were 16, so we were old enough to stay by ourselves. Our dog was also hanging out with us. She's a husky collie mix named Caroline, like the Neil Diamond song. In fact, we usually call her Sweet Caroline. It was around 10:30 or so, and we were taking a break and eating some pizza, just laughing and having a good time. I was thirsty, so I got up to get a water, and Carl and Nick asked me to get one for them too, so I said I would. When I got up, so did Caroline. She usually follows me everywhere I go. She was kind of whiny about it though, so I figured she had to go outside, which I'd let her out after I got the water, since the door to the backyard was on the opposite side of the house. As soon as I went through the swinging door of the kitchen, though, I had this feeling like I shouldn't be there. I think it was my body telling me that I was in danger. I heard this low growling noise and looked at the window that was above the sink. I couldn't help but yell out in fright because there was this thing in the window that looked just like a werewolf. The head and arm were in the window, and the screen was missing. Caroline started barking like crazy, and this thing let out this growl that was so intense that I flew back through the door, yelling like an idiot to my friends that there was a werewolf trying to get into the window. Of course, they didn't believe me for a second, but I screamed at them, swearing words that I shouldn't say, and told them that I wasn't lying. This thing was dark brown with a long muzzle and a black nose on the end. It had skinny ears that started on the sides of its head, and it had tufts of hair on the top. The tufts were the same color as the rest of it. It had yellow eyes like a cat, but they really seemed to glow on their own, and it had kind of shaggy hair on the top of its head. When we locked eyes, I felt like I was going to die. It looked very angry, and when it growled, it also lifted up its lips to reveal a row of really long, sharp teeth. The arm that was inside and through the window had shorter hair than the head, but the exact same color. It was really long, longer than I think an arm should be. The really messed up part, though, was that it actually had hands and fingers that looked almost human. It was in no way a paw that I was looking at. And I think this creature was trying to fit through the window, or at least grab something that it had smelled after it got to our home and ripped the screen off of the window. But anyways, Carl and Nick both got up and went into the kitchen. Caroline was still there, going nuts, but that thing wasn't at the window anymore. But it was only a couple of seconds later that we believed it ran past the other window in the kitchen, and it was big enough to convince both of them that something was outside, even though whatever it was outside was moving too fast for any of us to get a good look at it. And also, it seemed to me like it was running on two legs because it was so tall. It actually looked taller than the window, which would make it at least 7 feet tall. Both of my friends freaked out, and I told them that I wasn't lying, and that it went in the direction of the backyard, so it probably ran around the corner of the house. Like idiots, we ran to the backyard to see if we could see it, even though there was part of my brain saying that it could be running to the door to the backyard, trying to get into the house. And even though I felt this dread again, I guess I was still curious or something. Maybe I'm just dumb. So, we opened the back door and looked, and sure enough, there's that werewolf thing at the back of the backyard, standing by our gate. That's when all three of us got a really good look at this thing. It was so big, so huge. It looked like it would put any bodybuilder to shame. It was taller than our 7-foot fence. Its head and shoulders cleared the top of the fence, and it was standing on 2 legs. It looked like it was standing on its toes or something, kind of like Caroline does when she walks around. And it had those pointed things sticking out the back of its back legs. The whole body was dark brown, just like the head, and the fur on its chest area was a lot longer than the rest of its body, even the shaggy portion on the top of its head. It really looked to me like it was built of pure muscle. Every part of it was just enormous. The arms were muscular, the shoulders were muscular, the neck, the thighs, even the bottom of the legs, just all muscle. It was the most intimidating thing that I'd ever seen in my entire life. It almost looked like that werewolf from Van Helsing when the guy turns into it in the building, but bigger and more intimidating, same basic shape though. Carl and Nick started swearing and yelling, and I think they were both in shock. The werewolf, or I guess it could be a dogman or whatever it was, stared at us for just a second or two, and then snarled in our direction, just like it did when its head was inside my window. The look that this thing was giving us made me realize how intelligent it just might be. And I've seen enough werewolf movies to know that sometimes they can keep their human intelligence. I know it sounds dumb to compare real life to a movie, but I really think that sometimes these writers in Hollywood make movies out of their own experiences, and just never tell anyone about them. I think that could actually be it, how some people get what I saw and all the details just right. At this point, I'm panicked, so are my friends. Caroline is more protective and aggressive than I've ever seen her. She was barking and snarling, and then she bolted past us and took off in the direction that that thing was standing. Now I'm screaming at her to get back because I know she's gonna die if they fight each other. That thing looked like it was made to rip things apart. And then something even crazier than seeing a werewolf in your own backyard happened. This thing actually used the door handle on the gate to open it. The door clicked shut when it closed. You can tell that it's closed, and it swings into the backyard, not out into the trees and the fields behind us. This thing used the handle and the door like it knew what it was. That's when I realized that it really was that intelligent, and that maybe it was hunting us the entire time. It slipped out of the backyard and ran off into the woods behind our house, and Caroline kept running after the damn thing. Though, it darted out of the gate, and she darted with it. I knew I shouldn't have, and I do realize how dumb of an idea it was even now, but I ran after her. She was my dog. I loved her. I wasn't about to let her get ripped apart by this creature if I could do anything to stop it. I ran after her, screaming for her to come back. Nick and Carl actually followed me, screaming at me to come back because they didn't want me going off alone into the woods after a werewolf and my dog. They'd seen the creature too. Now, that's a good friend if you ask me. These guys had no idea where that thing was or what it was capable of. But they saw what I did, and they could use their imaginations just as well as I could. They knew that that thing could rip us apart easily, one after the other, and not even break a sweat. But still, my two best friends in the entire world ran off after me into the dark woods to help find my dog. But before we could even get out of the backyard, we heard this commotion on the other side of the fence. I have no idea what happened in the time it took us to get to that gate, but I know I have never heard anything scream like that in my entire life. It wasn't a scared scream. It was almost a battle scream or something like that. That thing was in a fight. The noise actually made me stop running for a minute because I was so scared. It was just so bad. I heard Caroline going nuts, I heard her barking and yipping, and then I heard her yelping and more of those screams and more barks. But what also sounded like a cross between a grunt and a roar. So I think Caroline got in a couple good licks too. When we made it to the back gate, I realized something else. It was pitch black out there. We had no lights, anything like that, not even our phones to use the flashlights on our phone. I've never felt fear like that. I couldn't see anything. The woods were dead silent, and I knew there was a monster out there. The only thing I could actually hear was the beating of my own heart, and the breathing of Nick and Carl behind me. I also had no idea where my dog was. And then we heard movement, and my heart stopped beating. I thought that thing was coming for us. But luckily, it was just Caroline. She was limping really badly, and even in what little light there was, I could see her limp, and I could see that she was covered in something dark that turned out to be her own blood. I picked her up, and I ran back to the house with Carl and Nick as fast as I could. And I want to point this out. I want to thank my adrenaline because that dog is about 70 pounds, give or take. But I picked her up and ran back home like she weighed nothing at all. We slammed the door and locked it, and I started looking over Caroline. She had some really bad wounds on her side. They looked like claw marks to me, and she wouldn't put any pressure on her front left leg. But she was still wagging her tail and licking me, so I knew that it wasn't seriously life-threatening, but it probably hurt really bad. We ended up calling my mom and dad and telling them that Caroline got into a fight with something, and we needed their help. We took her to the vet, and she had to have surgery to repair the wounds on her. I guess they were so bad she had to get put under anesthesia or something like that. The vet asked what attacked her since she'd never seen wounds like that before. But the three of us said we didn't know. Her leg turned out to be fine and turned out to be what our vet called a soft tissue injury that would eventually go away on its own. We got to take her home the next day, and they told us how to take care of her while she was healing. She had to have some stitches in her gash, and she had to take a few different medicines for pain and to make sure it didn't get infected. She also had to wear one of those cones until she was healed. I think that's the part that she actually hated the most, that cone. The next day, my dad had to fix the screen on the window too. It looked like something ripped it right off of the kitchen wall, and it was so bent and torn he actually had to buy a new one and fix the window frame before he could even attach the screen to the frame. He was convinced that it was a bear that was responsible for the window and for hurting Caroline. I still haven't told my parents what actually attacked her, or that that thing was trying to get into the house. But I have spent so many nights just lying awake in my bed, staring at the ceiling, and getting nervous at any little sound, going around and looking out the windows, making sure that that thing wasn't there. Caroline, though, made a complete recovery and refused to leave my side like always, especially when we were outside, which didn't help my nerves at all. As far as I know, that thing hasn't come back in over a year. Hopefully, it doesn't at all. I plan on telling my parents, though. I want to tell them the truth about what happened that night, especially since I'll be going to college in the not-too-distant future. They should probably know what's out there in the forest. I just hope they believe me. I think I might actually have Nick and Carl there when I tell them, or at least have them talk to them too, and tell them their experience. I was thinking about maybe doing it separately, so they realized we all saw the same thing because of our descriptions of it. If we all have the same details of what we saw, they have to believe us, right? What I want to know, though, is why that thing was halfway in the window when I walked into the room. If I hadn't, would it have figured out a way to get in? I don't think that window was big enough for its entire body to fit through. Maybe it was just trying to get something there in the kitchen. There was some pizza on the counter and some fruit, but I don't think that thing likes to eat fruit or pizza. Maybe it was trying to get in that way so it could kill us all in the sneak attack. I can imagine my parents' faces now if they came home and saw all three of us and Caroline ripped apart all over the living room. Sometimes I think I hear howling at night off in the forest by our house, but I think it might just be my imagination. Still, though, those are the nights that I make sure that all the doors and windows are locked. And those are the nights that Caroline actually gets a little antsy, which again, doesn't help my anxiety. I know my dad has a few rifles and handguns in the house, but honestly, I don't think anything that he owns would stop that creature. I know a lot of other people have seen this creature, and I am familiar with the Germantown werewolf. Hopefully, it's not the same thing. But on one hand, I kind of hope it is the same thing because if there are other things out there that are similar, either a dogman or a werewolf, what's to say that everything else that we think is under our bed isn't really? I want to thank you for taking the time to read this, and I hope all of your subscribers enjoy my story. Even though it was a terrifying experience, it still makes for one hell of a campfire story. I was driving late at night on I-90 between Deer Lodge and Missoula, Montana. I'm originally from Seattle. I was driving back to Seattle after visiting family in Bozeman and Billings. The stretch of freeway between Deer Lodge and Missoula has some weird small mountain towns along the side, occasionally interrupted by large truck stops. Anyway, it's about 11:30 at night, and I'm on my way to my hotel in Missoula, when I notice that I need to get some gas for my car. I stop off in this random small town with one gas station with a 24-hour pump. It had a convenience store attached to it, but it was closed. I get this really weird vibe from the station as soon as I pulled up to the pump. I hadn't turned off my car yet. I had just put it in park and the engine was still running. I was about to shut off my car when out of the corner of my eye, I see some dark figure come from the side of the closed convenience store and start running towards my car. Some instinct in my head kicks in, and I put my car back into drive and got the hell out of there. I look back in my rearview mirror to see the figure chasing after my car for a few seconds. By that time, I make the turn that gets me back onto the freeway. I found a brightly lit truck stop about 10 miles down the road where I filled up my car. Needless to say, that weirded me the hell out for the rest of my drive to Missoula and Seattle. I've heard it before and I experienced it that night. Strange things happen in the mountains. Edit. Thanks for all your comments below. Some clarification of some things in this story. It happened in 2009, so while smartphones did exist, they weren't as prevalent or as good as they are today. Even with my flip phone I had at the time, I was getting next to no signal on it. I simply chose the first place that said it had a 24-hour gas pump. Secondly, the events at the gas station happened in a span of about 10-15 seconds. Yeah, it happened that quick. Arrive, park, go to turn off car, see dark figure run towards my car, put the car back into drive, burn rubber out of there, see dark figure chasing after my car, tear ass up the on-ramp back onto the freeway. About as fast as you could read those sentences, that's how fast it happened. Finally, someone mentioned the story of the Wendigo. I've heard about those stories before, but I wasn't up isolated up in the mountains. This was less than a 30-second drive from the freeway. One thing that I do know about that area of Montana is that it had a bad meth problem. It still does, as far as I know. I think the dark figure was likely a desperate meth head looking to rob someone. But after you've been driving for hundreds of miles, your brain will go to some weird spaces given some time. I'll never really know who or what that figure was. I don't think I ever want to. Until now, I had no idea what crawlers were. This incident took place in the Canadian province of Saskatchewan in winter 2015. It was around Christmas time, so we had lots of snow, and it was very cold, 25 Celsius. My dad was driving my sister and me to the small city that we live near. It was only 6 p.m., but it was already dark. We only live about 10 minutes out of town, so it's not like we were in the middle of nowhere. However, the two-lane highway is unlit and very dark. I was in the back seat, with my younger sister in the passenger seat. Suddenly, I noticed something in the headlights. Something ran across the road in front of us. It was so fast that my dad didn't have time to brake or react, and then it was gone. What the heck? My dad's eyes widened. I couldn't believe what I'd seen. It was almost dog-like, or maybe more like a deer, but certainly wasn't either of those things. It was a dark blur. It looked like a lanky humanoid, but with very long limbs and ran on four legs. It was about the size of a large dog or small deer, but its front and back legs bent like a human's arms and legs. I was too stunned to say anything. All I could think was, what the heck did I just see? My younger sister looked at my dad and then me, her mouth wide open. You guys saw that too? She asked. I nodded, eyes wide. We spent the rest of the drive feeling uneasy, my dad speeding faster than he usually does. I was so relieved when the first street lights appeared in the city limits. We still bring it up to this day, still as confused and spooked as when we saw it. Does this sound like a crawler? In 2008, I deployed to Iraq, near the Iranian border in the Mason province. On more than one occasion, we would catch local nationals at TCPs with handguns. They were allowed to have rifles but not handguns. It's worth noting these dudes were usually on motorcycles, felt more exposed, I'm assuming, and they would reply, "There are animals here that eat people at night." Our interpreter said that the closest translation for what a couple of the guys said was something like a hyena or werewolf, some kind of local slang word for said monster. I don't know. Mid-deployment, I was on a mission right smack on the border, standing guard in the gunner's hatch of my HMMWV, while the rest of the guys were racked the F out. My platoon was in a big circle around the commander's MRP with all of the gunners pulling watch and shifts overnight. I hear this god-awful noise, like I've never heard before, like a big dog's growl would sound if you were to use software to slow it way down, very guttural. I look, and about 30 yards or so directly in front of me is some crazy-looking dog thing. It took a second to make out its figure, but it was oddly proportioned, almost hyena-like, with a bulky chest it seemed. It had freakishly long ears. I could feel the thing staring at me. After about 5 minutes or so, it made its terrifying demon-dog noise again, and just turned and walked away towards the area where the closest Iranian border fort or tower was. During this whole ordeal, I was quietly stomping my foot going, guys, trying to wake my buddies up so I'd know I wasn't going crazy. Nobody woke up. I asked the other guys in the platoon if they saw anything that night. The following morning, they looked at me like I was retarded. This was the middle of nowhere in the desert near the border, so I just brushed it off and never mentioned it again. No idea what it was to this day. It still gives me chills thinking about it. Stateside. This was at the height of Pokemon Go. We were at an artillery range about 30 minutes outside of El Paso. A group of about 7 of us decided to head out on some trails near a park. This place was pretty barren. Think New Mexico desert. The group all had flashlights, one of us had brought an NVG. We were all just walking, shooting the shit, until our doc saw a silhouette against the moonlight, some 300 meters in the distance on some rocks. He dismissed it as a coyote. Then the sergeant that tagged along tells us to kill the lights and grabs the NVG. He just mutters to himself, "What in the actual F?" The NVG is passed around with pretty similar reactions. Just sitting there was a pale man with big glowing eyes, a disproportionate body, and a set of antlers beside it. It was so damn unnatural looking. Only about half of the group had a chance until the last guy said, "It's staring right back at us. Wait, F, it's getting up." As those words were spoken, we all just bolted back towards our GSA van. The ride back was eerie and quiet. We just agreed never to bring it up again. Last year, 2021, I got a new tent, sealed the seams up real good, and decided to test it out with a weekend solo camp in Rocky Mountain National Park. I packed up my backpack, told my wife I'd be back in a few days, hopped in the car, and was on my way. I followed a road up to a spot that looked like a good place to park, locked the car and started walking. The trail I found was pretty easy, just a few down trees, and a little rock scramble were the only obstacles. Anyway, I saw a little clearing from the trail and went to check it out. It was a perfect spot. I remember thinking, wow, I got real lucky finding this spot. The only downside was how hard the ground was. I broke 4 tent stakes. As I'm pitching my tent, it starts to drizzle a bit. No biggie, I'll just put a tarp up to so I can have a small fire and stretch out a little. I got the tent up, shoved my gear in it, hung the tarp, and gathered all the dry kindling and wood I could find. The rain picked up as I was cooking my dinner of cheese and broccoli noodles with a packet of chicken mixed in. And honestly, it was so peaceful and relaxing, I thought I'd never want to leave. The sun has set, my fire was dwindling, and the rain was consistent, so I decided it was time for bed. I got in my little tent, inflated my sleeping pad and pillow, put on my sleeping clothes, and snuggled up in my sleeping bag. There's nothing like the sound and smell of rain hitting your tent. It just knocks me out. About 2, I hear what sounds like deer walking through my little campsite, but I don't think anything of it, cause deer are pretty chill. Then I hear a voice say, "Hey. Hey, bearded adventurer." And I woke right up. I grabbed my flashlight off my belt, which was laying by my head, and turned it on. I unzipped the tent a little and was looking around, but didn't see anything, so I zipped it up and thought I was just hearing things. I laid back down and decided I was probably dreaming, so I was going to go back to sleep. As soon as I got comfy again, I heard it again. "Hey, bearded adventurer. Hey. Hey. Okay, WTF, I'm gonna go have a proper look around." I put my pants on and toss on my rain jacket, get my boots on and grab my flashlight and knife. I stepped out of the tent and stood up to look around. There was nothing there. I checked around the tarp, over by where I use the restroom, and in the direction of the trail. There was nothing anywhere. So now I'm thoroughly freaked out. It's dark and raining, and it's just me about 100 yards from the trail. I probably would have stayed up the rest of the night, but it was cold, so I crawled back into my sleeping bag and fell asleep. The next morning, I got dressed and stepped outside. There was deer tracks all over my little campsite, and my small pile of firewood that I had left under the tarp was all scattered around. Well, that's enough of that. I packed up camp, did my little leave no trace sweep of the area, and walked swiftly to my car. Camping trip cut short. I keep telling myself it was probably just deer, but I have no idea what was calling me by name. I plan on going back to that same spot this summer though, but maybe with a friend this time. It moves strangely, like a human on all fours. I've recently decided to move from my sister's home, and I was telling my older brother about a few sightings me and my sisters have been having over the last year or so. These were on multiple occasions and at random times of morning or night. He told me to look it up online since he's crazy into supernatural things, and he told me it might be a dogman. I don't know what that is exactly. But these posts I've seen here are more accurately describing the creature we've been seeing, and I decided to post about my own similar experiences. I made an account specifically for this. The first time I saw it, I was looking out of the front door. I always check outside before I take the dogs out because we live in a kind of town home community, and people have all types of vicious dogs unleashed, and I never want to have an encounter with any of them. Our front door is all frosted, except the center, which is the only part you can see out of, and it's shaped like a rose. I took a look outside and caught sight of a dog-ish shaped kind of creature. But without my glasses on, I just thought it was a dog. And to be sure of this, I put my glasses on and cracked the door to get a better look. The only way I can ever describe this creature to anyone is that it was very spiny, and it was hunched on all fours. It looked exactly like a human pretending to be a dog from behind. Like it walked kind of funny on its legs. I slammed the door and turned around to yell for my sister's attention, so she could also see what I was seeing. But when I looked back outside, it was gone, vanished, like it was never even there, and this area is heavily wooded across from our townhouse, so I figured maybe it was a dog, and I was just super sleepy and hallucinated everything about it. This is Georgia. I've lived here my whole life, and the weirdest thing I've seen was a drunk man trying to ride a dog like a horse. I talked to my eldest sister the next day about it, and her reaction was, "Yeah, what the heck is that thing anyway? I've been seeing it a few times when I pull in from work. The other night my headlights flashed on it, and it ran into the woods." She later called it a creepy white dog, but admitted that she'll sit and wait in the car for a bit of time before coming in, just to make sure it's gone. She even called me once and asked me to unlock the door so she could make a run for it. Some of our relatives have said that it's just a dog, and we shouldn't worry about it. Now you guys don't have to do this, but if you were to get down on all fours, raise your back a little bit, and walk across the floor just like that. That's what it was doing when I saw it. Every step it took looked, well, like a human pretending to be a dog. We've never seen its face though. I'm a little too scared to wonder what it looks like. Last summer, my boyfriend and I were camping in the Wachita Forest, off the Winona Scenic Route. We drove through a gorgeous spillway to a creek site, where we had set up our camp, and were laying in the hammock for the night. Next thing I know, our dog is growling. This deep growl I'd never heard her make, so it caught my attention. I look in the direction she's growling in, and I see this weird humanoid figure just casually walking in the woods about 10-20 feet away from us. It's a light gray, maybe white color, about 7 feet tall, very skinny, and has an abnormally large head. Our dog barks and catches its attention. It stops for a good 20 seconds, looks at us, then carries on its way. Needless to say, we immediately packed everything up and left. We hadn't taken anything recreational that night, though I sort of wish we had now. I don't know what I saw, but it scared the heck out of me. And I'm so curious if we were the only ones to have ever seen anything like that out there. I actually have two separate stories about this same spot. I go here maybe once a year now because I get an eerie feeling every time I do now. I will also add, though these are the main stories, I have had dozens of other small, strange occurrences in this exact spot. I will tell the one I believe pertains most to yours. I was on a camping trip with a huge group of people one year around the 4th of July. This spot is extremely remote in Madison County. It's hard to get to as well, because the roads around it wash out really bad. In fact, this year we went there was a flood that washed out the road in spring, and we had to find a route through to mountains to even down to this valley. Everyone parked on the top of the hill, and we used our 4WD to drive people gear down in groups, so we could cross the creek, etc. At one point in the midday while setting up camp, a guy from our group drops everything suddenly, and is just staring into the woods. I had my dog with me, and she usually runs off into the woods, the moment we get there chasing what I believe to be deer. Well, my guy goes, "Hey, I just seen a dude in those woods, you might want to call Rub-A-Dog." I was concerned, but I also know people hike through the woods to the caves in this spot. I never saw any person, he didn't tell me this till later. But he saw a tall gray person in the woods, and he was afraid the entire night after this. He stayed by the campfire, no joke. Even when we went to gather wood, he stayed. The same night, at one point I wander off to use the restroom alone. There's obviously no actual bathroom. We set up a potty station on the other side of the tents, so we wouldn't have a smell. I'm walking by the tents, and I hear rustling in one, like someone looking through their stuff in their tent. only thing is I've just come from the campfire where literally our entire group is. I'm like, who's this? I actually ask out loud, and when no one answers I think, maybe an animal got in someone's tent. The noise completely stops, I open the tent, and it's completely empty. Nothing, I shine my flashlight all around in it, not even a critter. I'm like, WTF, okay, maybe it wasn't coming from the tent. Later in the evening we're all star watching, and it was as if the night sky turned into a grid of moving lights. I'm not kidding, we were all like, do you see this? To each other and freaking out. The lights seemed to be right above us, saw them moving around in almost a sequence. Many hours later, almost probably just a few HRS from daylight, we turn in. When I go in my tent, I go alone and my boyfriend stays in the sleeping bag by the campfire. While I'm trying to sleep, I hear constant talking. What is being said I can't make out, but I know I hear voices, all night, till sun breaks. I get barely any sleep, and in the morning I get up and around, and I mention to everyone who slept around the fire I heard them talking all night after I went to bed and didn't sleep well because they were so loud. They all look at each other, four people, and were like, none of us spoke after we decided to call it night. What do you mean you heard voices? I promise y'all I'm not schizophrenic, I've never heard voices at all. They went on all night, no one else heard it. I don't know. I've gone back many times and I've seen other lights in the sky, never as close or defined as that night. I feel like something else was there watching us or studying us. I never saw the being with my own eyes. This is just something the person who did confided in me later when we were discussing the lights. The other stories mainly involve meth heads, like wrong turn shit type of experiences, not supernatural. I live near Vernal, Utah, and back in the spring of 2019, I had seen a couple strange creatures in the span of a few weeks to a month tops. I want to make this post mainly about the one that confuses me the most. It confuses me because I can't really find anything online that resembles this thing. So I live up in some foothills below a mountain. Just to get an idea, I don't live in a developed city, and we are for the most part surrounded by wilderness. I see deer just about every day. So, like I said, I had seen a couple strange creatures. At this time I only had seen one. Since that time I have been very observant. It was probably about 8:30 p.m., maybe 15 minutes until the sun would go down. I was scanning all the rocks, trees, and bushes with binoculars. I focused in over a fence of a house, and that's when I saw this thing. There is a series of trees behind this fence, which almost gives the appearance of a forest. I stared through my binoculars and saw what I can only describe as an almost black-looking bear. When I first looked at it, I could only see half of its face and one side of its shoulders. I could not make out exactly what I was looking at, so I just continued to stare at it through the binoculars. After staring for what was about 1 minute, I noticed it started to come forward. The reason I say came forward is because it didn't appear as if it was walking. Its upper body did not make the movements that a walking human would make. It came forward, and at this point, I could see its entire face and big muscular shoulders on each side of its body. It was staring directly at me, and I feel it came forward so I could get a better look at it. Its chest and down I could not see, because a white fence was covering that area. Although I could see the face, I could not make out exactly what I was looking at. From the eyes down it looked so strange. I saw what was like a circular lighter colored shape for a mouth, and a smaller black dot for a nose, and that's about when it turned its head. When it turned its head, I realized that it resembled the head of a bear. The only difference between this thing's head and a black bear's head is that it had a stubby or short snout. I also noticed that it had ears that looked exactly like bear ears. If I had to guess the height, I would say around 7 feet tall and very wide, 2-3 feet. Basically how most would describe the size of a Sasquatch. People would probably say this was a bear, but like I somewhat stated, it had the posture of a human with human-like, but on steroid shoulders. It stared directly at me as I stared at it. I wasn't exactly scared because it was light out, and I knew there was no way this thing would hop the fence and reveal itself to the rest of the homes. Soon after getting a good look, I went inside feeling a little uneasy. I don't quite think this thing is flesh and blood, because I don't see how it would get into someone's backyard, especially during the daytime. Also, when it came forward to be in front of the tree, that was hiding half of its upper body, it didn't make walking movements in the upper body, at least not noticeable. This incident occurred in August 2009. I was hiking alone in the Cascades in Oregon. I was in a more remote area of the range along Gordon Peak Trail. On the sixth or seventh day on the trail, the hair on the back of my neck started standing up. I chalked it up to being a mountain lion in the area. But the weird thing was the uneasy feeling never left. That night is when I heard the howling. It wasn't wolves or bears or any other animal I had ever heard. The closest thing I could relate it to is the noises apes and monkeys make. This persisted for the next few nights, and eventually, things started rummaging through my campsite. Naturally, I assumed it was a bear or raccoon. But then on the 11th day, I woke up and my food bag was removed from the tree. Something had cut the line through. All my food was gone. I decided to keep pushing. I had 4 days left till the end of the trail. I'm familiar with what I can and can't eat in the area, and I could always fish for food. The same nightly activities occurred, and on the 13th night, something started throwing rocks at my tent. For some reason I lost it. I screamed into the darkness for whatever it was to leave me alone, hoping it was just some person messing with me, and maybe they'd scream out for it to leave me alone. Instead, it grew quiet for the first time in nights. Nothing could be heard. Then a scream louder and more vicious than any other night cut through the night. Then nothing, complete and utter silence again. Despite it being quiet, I wasn't able to sleep that night. I just waited. The next day I continued my hike, dead tired, just wanting to get out. The hair on the back of my neck still standing, and the forest was still quiet. I felt like I was being hunted. Towards the end of the day, I sat down to rest before pushing a few more miles when I saw it. Something tall and large, bigger than any man or animal I had seen, sliding through the forest, not making a noise. I yelled at it, and it turned to look at me. I never got a good look at it through the trees and the brush, and it was dark. But I knew that whatever it was causing this. I threw a rock at it, and then pulled my knife. This thing just kept staring at me. I don't know what kicked in, but I no longer felt scared. I felt angry, and I ran at the thing. It ran from me, and I chased it in the woods. It had long strides and easily outpaced me, but I continued the chase. After several minutes I gave up and collapsed in exhaustion. I rested for a bit, before backtracking my way back to my backpack and resting area. I was tired and made camp there. Another night of silence when I woke up the next day, and had about 10 miles till I was out. Exhausted, hungry, and mentally drained, I made my way out. As I got closer and closer to the end of the trail, the typical forest noises returned. Birds, bugs, and mice run through the undergrowth. All these noises slowly returned. I no longer had this feeling of unease. I got to the trail end, sat in my car, and cried. To this day, I still pass it off as someone just messing with me. But the way that thing moved in the forest, I just don't know. I told a park ranger about it, and he jokingly said they have a bunch of Bigfoot sightings in the area. But most likely it was a local screwing with me or my own imagination. I do a lot of long hikes, but that 15 days was by far the worst. To provide some context, this took place about a year ago, more accurately October-November 2017, near my home in Lapeer County, Michigan. For reference, I'm about an hour north of Detroit, a used-to-be small town that's become more densely populated over the last decade, with a lot more hustle and bustle. However, where I live, I'm at least 1 mile away in all directions from any commercial zones or more modernized residential areas that tend to be a bit congested. It's one of the last stretches of slow, old farm country in the town that hasn't been overrun with cookie-cutter subdivisions. My house was built in the 70s by my grandfather, with whom I still reside, along with my husband, daughter, and aunt. We are his caretakers, while we save up finish school to afford our own home. There's a sizable lot or three of land between our house and our neighbors on either side. Might be worth mentioning that growing up, my friends always said my house looked like a house you'd see in a horror film, due to its setting amongst dense trees. Some of the trees have been cut down to prepare for more houses, but fortunately for us, the builders violated multiple codes, I guess, so now there's a bit of an overgrown, expansive field. Anyway, I'm rambling, just an inherently descriptive person trying to paint as detailed of a landscape as possible for anyone else who might find it helpful. So, it's an autumn Sunday evening, and the sun has been down for a bit. Most of the leaves had fallen by now, but I recall it being an unusually warm night, for that time of year. Everyone in my house was winding down for the night and preparing for the work school week. I'd say around 10:30, I decide to let my dogs out one last time before turning in for the night. I go to open our back door, which is a giant glass sliding door wall window, and my dogs are right at my feet behind me, ready to bust out of the door as soon as it opens wide enough. I'm glad I didn't let them out because I guarantee if they saw what I briefly did, they would have both charged toward it, and it would have just been bad. I open the door, and where the edge of our yard ends and the brushy field begins, keep in mind, this brush is a bit taller than I am. I am 5 feet tall exactly. A pale, grayish figure is standing amidst the brush at the edge of the yard. The only reason I noticed it in the first place was because the noise my door made seemed to have startled it, so it made noise in the dry, fallen leaves, which then caused me to direct my attention toward this noise. Which is when I saw it, fleetingly, duck down and take off further into the field behind my house. It's difficult to describe, but due to what I saw, being familiar with coyotes, feral cats, and other animals I'm used to seeing around the property, it had remarkably human characteristics, given its height and how it crouched over before moving in bound-like strides into the field. That's another thing I noticed was that it didn't make the sound that a human, or any animal that is native to this area for that matter, would make in retreat. The pace wasn't quick, with multiple steps like a human, deer, or coyote. They were like lengthy, bounding strides. And the sound it made hitting the ground had weight to it. The tread was not light, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It sounded big. It kind of took my breath away, and I was left startled myself, but due to what I did see, believing what I saw to bear a resemblance to a human, I sheepishly called out, "Hello, is someone out here?" I'm still standing in my doorway, kind of frozen in mild fear. I yell again, "Hello?" This time, a bit more confident and enunciated. This captures the attention of my husband and my aunt. My husband came downstairs to see why I was yelling outside, as did my aunt. I explained to both of them, kind of frantically, what I had just witnessed. My aunt was spooked and my husband went upstairs to get a flashlight and his air rifle. I am an animal lover, and I don't like the idea of him shooting any animals, even problem animals, with something that can do serious damage like a real gun, so he uses an air rifle, but it can still wound and kill small game, like a raccoon. My husband and I both go outside into the backyard, him with the rifle and light. We begin scanning a pitch black, overgrown field to no avail at first. Maybe after 5 minutes of looking, my husband hops on top of his sedan that's parked outside to get a better view of the field or any movement through the brush and continues looking. His gaze stops in one particular direction though. He hops down and quietly approaches me in the yard and points in the direction of what he is looking at. About 20 yards into the field, in the direction closer to the back of my neighbor's property, two glowing orange-red eyes are looking right at us through the brush, somewhat low to the ground. When he gets me to see what he's seeing, He decides to shoot in the general direction of this thing, to maybe startle it a bit, to see how it moves. He did this several times, and it didn't flinch. Then he decided he would try to aim his fire directly at it, to get a reaction, and he's a damn good shot. He hits it in, what I imagine to be the face, and it sort of jumps up, and when it landed, it was a solid sounding thud against the ground. All the while, it did not break its gaze on us. After hitting the ground, it moved further back into the field without running away necessarily. It kept eye contact with us the entire time. Almost as if it was walking backward, not once averting its gaze. It eventually moved far enough back that we both had to jump onto the car to still be able to see it. After several minutes of this, it had moved beyond our visual, so we hopped down and went inside. It's worth mentioning that there wasn't any sort of light that would cause reflective eyes, aside from the moon, which wasn't even full, and it was very dark. We purposefully kept our lights off, and the eyes looked as though they weren't even reflecting light, but more so emitting it. Do with this what you will, but I and my husband both know what we saw, and given the frequency and variety of animals we see normally otherwise, this was significantly different than what we see. We have deer, coyotes, foxes, possums, raccoons, skunks, and feral cats, all of which we are very familiar with. We have not seen anything like this before or since this time. Although we do hear strange sounds and noises in the field and the woods from time to time at night. My husband has actually woken me up in the middle of the night to listen to some strange moans and wailing. But that hasn't happened since earlier this year. I felt it was valuable to share in the sense that not all encounters are ones where whatever it is inherently malevolent or predatory, in torturous pursuit of humans. It was just an experience that struck me as particularly odd. There's this forest near my house here in southeast England that my friends and I use for mountain biking, but it's got a very uncomfortable, strange vibe to it. The only person we ever see here is the same older man walking his dog, but he always appears when we're feeling really uneasy due to the energy. He will just suddenly walk past, and you never see him coming. There is a tree that has become a memorial for a dog that died. Coincidentally, a German Shepherd, same breed as the man's, and looks very similar. Sometimes, in the furthest corners of the woods, I distinctly hear a dog collar behind me or nearby. Here's where things get a bit strange. There's a spot we use for campfires and drinking. We were there late at night, around 9-10 p.m., but gradually began feeling creeped out as the energy started to increase. We started hearing a very strange noise. It definitely was not a fox or bird. It sounded very sweet and innocent at first until it turned into blood-curdling shrieking. We quickly packed our stuff and went on a mission to get the hell out of Dodge. There's a field that serves as the main access point to the woods. We were using the main path through it and got an overwhelming sense of dread, sadness, and almost anger mixed together. In the bushes to the side of the path, we heard running, very, very heavy running. And all of a sudden, we started hearing the most horrible growling and screaming noises getting worse and worse, until we got to the exit of the field, and it all stopped. We didn't hear it run away, but all the noises and running just stopped. We all had strange dreams that night. One time, I heard very heavy running footsteps in the bushes right behind me, while my friend was having a pee. I turned around to see if it was him, but there's no way it was because he hadn't moved from that spot. He came back and asked if I heard the running too. 2 days ago, I went back there for the first time in around 5 months alone, as I moved away from the local area. The strange feeling was still there, and in some areas, it felt like it has gotten worse, but I didn't let it bother me. I went back again today, and there was heavy rainfall the last couple of days, so the ground is very muddy. I kept hearing the dog collar that follows me around, and I noticed strange hoof marks in the ground, but they were very inconsistent. Groups of them would appear, and then there wouldn't be any more until around 15-20 meters up the path. They definitely weren't there 2 days ago, and these woods take so long to get into, many people wouldn't bother going there, and it's impossible to get a horse in there. I have a few theories about this forest. I think it could be a similar presence to Goatman, as he was often linked to canine deaths. The potential cryptid activity and hoof marks are consistent with this theory. Very unlikely but plausible, it could be the devil's hoof marks. The presence definitely feels demonic. The forest is potentially a dumping ground for bodies. There was a suspected murder in the local town, and police searched the woods. It would explain the strange presence, but not the cryptid activity. People with dirt bikes sometimes use the forest. One of them could have died there and haunts it. I was walking home from school one day. It was me and my brother. We used to walk home from school all the time. Something happened about 2 days or 3 days before. It was on a weekend. I had a telescope out back, and I was looking through the telescope at night. I saw something. I didn't know what it was, but it looked like these people were looking out of a craft. They were bald and had big eyes. I didn't know what it was at the time. I didn't know stuff like that. When walking home from school, me and my brother would always walk home together. One day we were talking about what I had seen. We crossed Bowery Street where there's a big old chestnut tree. We always used to stop and pick up the chestnuts. But I stood up from picking up chestnuts, and my brother wasn't there. There were two men in black suits standing there, and they were asking me questions. You know, it's kinda strange talking about it. They're talking kinda funny, kinda robotic, and they were asking me what I saw and all that. I told them, and they said I wasn't supposed to talk about this, and they started saying, you know, threatening me. I took off running. When I looked back, they weren't there, but here came my brother running, and he was asking me what happened. I said that I didn't know. It's kinda weird talking about it now too. I was probably about 7 or 8 years old at the time. George Knapp, the host, asks where the man in blacks went. They were just gone, and then my brother was back there behind me. He comes running up in the back of me. He reappeared, and they were just gone. When I was a child, around the age of 6, perhaps younger, I used to visit my uncle's house on occasion with my mom and nan. Each time I was there, I'd go to my uncle's bedroom to look at the mummy that lay on his bed. That's what I thought I was seeing, an adult woman who seemed to look like they were wrapped up in bandages or some material. My uncle was the kind that would tease you, or wind you up, so I never believed it was real, just something he'd rigged to scare me. Each time I went to his house, I would drag my mum or my nan into that room to show them, and frustratingly, each and every time they would claim not to be able to see a very obvious mummy laid out on the bed. It got to the point one day, after dragging my mum and nan up to my uncle's room, and them not believing me, that after they left, I stayed to watch the mummy lay in the bed. I stayed in the doorway, the furthest I would ever go, with the side of the bed facing me, and glared as angrily as a little girl could at the woman in the bed. Then it sat up and turned to face me. I froze. It was when the thing started to get off the bed towards me that I discovered my legs again and ran. Years later, my nan took me and a friend to my uncle's house to dog sit while he was away. It just so happened that his bedroom was where we would be having our sleepover. The room had been changed, and there was no mummy this time around, but retelling the story was enough to freak us both out for the night, though it didn't stop us from sleeping. My mom and nan can recall me asking about the bandaged women in the bed, and other weird things I'd seen and experienced as a child, but no one else had experienced the mummy in that house. I am a student who also bartends in order to make some money while I'm in school. I started a job at an old Irish pub in my town, and I loved it. It also doubled as an inn and had 5 stories of old antique rooms, and the bar where I worked was downstairs on the ground level. This place was built in the late 1700s and definitely had its fair share of ghost stories. I'm not really a huge believer, so I never had an issue or saw any time of haunting. However, one night, I was closing up the bar around 1:30 a.m. since no one has come in probably for about an hour, and we close at 2 a.m. This night wasn't busy at all, and we didn't even have any guests staying upstairs. I was completely alone. I started cleaning up, and I heard a loud voice of a woman from upstairs. It sounded like my girlfriend who also works there, but I knew that she went home around 9 p.m. Assuming she forgot something, I replied back that I was coming up. The voice continued, and it said my name. I got up to the next floor, which is the lobby, and I didn't see anyone. Confused, I called my girlfriend on the phone. She picked up, and she was in bed at the house. This is when my heart dropped. I went back downstairs and cleaned the bar so fast. The only thing I heard after that while I was cleaning was just footsteps and creaking from upstairs. That was a scary night, haha. If people find this interesting, I can tell other coworkers' experiences that are far crazier than mine. So, this is an actual true story, nothing made up at all. Some years back, we bought a piece of property. I was walking around, and a van was parked in the back in the woods. I called the number on the van, and the wife of the owner called the police. After a day of BS, they found him hanging in a tree on the back corner of the property. He died in the place he loved the most, his wife said. He had jumped off a tree stand he built. Fast forward to one morning as the sun was coming up, I heard footsteps running down the hall to the side of my bed. I have two boys, so this was not alarming at the moment, but I was actually in the house by myself. I opened my eyes, and a blonde-haired boy in blue jean overalls was standing next to my bed. I have blonde-haired children. Suddenly, I realized this was not my child, and all of a sudden, the boy started to vanish from the head down and was gone. I slept with my pistol next to me for two nights, as if that would do any good. I rented the house out for years and came back to live there, so I needed to change my address. I went to the local post office and was talking to the clerk, and she knew the address. She said, "My dad killed himself on your property." We talked a little, and I asked her, "What was your dad like as a boy? What did he wear and look like as a child?" My jaw dropped when she said blue jean overalls and had blonde hair. We talked about what I had seen, and she was not surprised because she had experienced things as well with her deceased dad. This is a true story, and my son, before I had ever seen this boy, would always talk about a little blonde-haired boy. I thought he was making up a friend like kids do. I never told my kids this experience, but after finding out who the ghost was, I was never afraid of another encounter if it happened. There were some noises and doors that were open when I walked by that were closed the next time I saw them. You can say what you want, but I think he came back as a boy who used to enjoy the land my house is on. He is since gone, at least I have never seen or heard anything out of the way in years.